So I'm kind of curious, there's been a lot of debate, Maria, over the recent years about the optimal upfront approach. This patient had one common approach with carbo, PEM, and BEV. Other people use carbo, PEM without BEV. Some people use carbo, paclitaxel. How have you approached that in your own practice?
I actually had a similar patient 2 years, a lady that was young, and I used the same approach, and she had an excellent response. Later on, we found that she had an ERBB2 mutation on next-generation testing.
And how about your practice? Again, outside a trial setting, I guess now it's either going to be post-checkpoint inhibitor or knowing that they're PD-L1 less than 50%. How do you approach that decision?
So I still use a lot of first-line carboplatin and pemetrexed. I think, you know, we talk about hair loss as being, oh, it's a lesser toxicity. But for a lot of patients, it defines who they are and sort of the appearance that they're giving to the world and that idea of I'm sick or not sick. So it becomes more important in some ways than I think we give it credit a lot of the time. I mean, I think when patients are faced with lose your hair or have no treatment, they're going to go for the treatment and losing the hair. But if you have an option where you don't have to lose your hair up front, that's very appealing. The addition of bevacizumab, I will consider, especially in the younger patients. You know, we long ago did the subset analysis from the ECOG 4599, the initial carboplatin paclitaxel bevacizumab, and we divided it up by men versus women and ages. We used 60 as a cut point. And the women under 60, small numbers, but there was a hint that the bevacizumab really seemed quite beneficial for them versus for women who were older, it was less so. And I think it's probably a reflection they had more aggressive tumors, probably more mutation driven. I mean, this was all done long ago before we knew to even look at those things. But I tend to be biased by that analysis, and I definitely think about giving bevacizumab to my younger patients who are women especially.
So you think you might have used Bev in a patient?
I would have. And I really like the PEM and Bev maintenance. Mm-hmm. I think that's been highly active.
Did you have to do any dose adjustment or rescheduling, or she sort of cruised through it?
No, she did really well. I mean, I think it was 4 cycles, which she had a goal that was four cycles, you know, 12 weeks you could get your hands around. And then the maintenance, she was able to continue to work. Eventually, we adjusted for once a month because she needed to work. And that worked well until she progressed.
And can you kind of fast forward in terms of what happened for the rest of her course?
So she traveled to 2 places to look at clinical trials. One of the clinical trials that we had with immunotherapy, and then she went to another facility outside, And then after all that discussion, you know, I guess because she had a law degree, she just had a lot of issues with the consent forms, had a lot of issues with the biopsies.